welcome to the Oil Spills Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Ellingson. I'm with Hockey Beat writer Derek Van Diest. We are continuing our, I'll call it the Dog Days of August series of podcasts. You know, there's no, the news slows down to a trickle this time of year, and, you know, unpredictably so. I mean, A, general managers and players and almost everybody involved on the operations side of a hockey team are, they're taking time off before September rolls around here. I'm sure that there are people doing work behind the scenes, but believe me, you know, in a month's time, people will be doing all the work needed as usual to prepare for an NHL season. You know, rookies reports and then veterans and then camp will be on leading up to the October 2nd start of the season. But, you know, one, probably the biggest deal of the summer for the Oilers, you know, not that there have been a lot, I'm thinking about free agents too, but the James Neal, Milan Lucic trade. Mm-hmm. You know, he was acquired back on July 19th for Milan Lucic. Now, we haven't talked at all about this trade on this podcast. We took a break ourselves up until mid-August here, and we haven't talked about the trade at all. We talked a lot. We've talked a lot in the past, of course, about Milan Lucic and his struggles and why he had them and their effect on the team. But, you know, the Oilers now have James Neal. You know, Neal had a paltry season last year in Calgary. He scored just 7 goals, 12 assists in 63 games. He was out of the lineup for 19. You know, this guy had had a consistent 20-plus goal scoring type career over a decade leading into Calgary. Of course, it smacks of what happened to Lucic himself, you know, after his first season with the Oilers. You know, the last 2 seasons, as most everyone listening to this knows, were terrible for Lucic offensively. You know, he just had, you know, 2 seasons ago, he had 10 goals. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, just 6. You know, for a guy who had been kind of like Neal, a consistent 20-goal scorer, more or less, mostly for the Bruins and then for a year with the LA Kings. So, there is that. I mean, there is that similarity there. They have been, you know, relatively producible, consistent players. Neal has more finesse. He's more of a finisher. I mean, obviously, Lucic's role is to be that prototypical power forward. But getting James Neal, Lucic did spend some time on the top line with McDavid over the, you know, particularly the first 2 years he was here. But James Neal in the past has played a top line role for teams like Pittsburgh and for the Predators. He was a pretty key part of the Vegas Golden Knights 2 seasons ago in their first year when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. James Neal, I think, is a step up on what Milan Lucic could have been for the Oilers.
Oh, definitely. I really do believe this is actually a very good trade for the Edmonton Oilers. It was kind of twofold. James Neal just didn't fit in Calgary, and he didn't fit in with the coaching staff there, and it sounded like he didn't fit in with the personalities with Drews and the Monahans and those guys in there, and he had a bad year. And I think Dave Tippett made a great point when he talked about James Neal this summer. I caught up to him at a golf course at Mark Spector's golf tournament. He said that James Neal, for the past 2 seasons, he went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. So his off-season training was cut short, basically. Because when you go to the Stanley Cup final, you know, you're playing into deep June, almost to July, and then by the time you decompress and everything happens, and then you get into that training mode, it's almost August, and so you're kind of behind. I think NHLers like to work up to the season, train about 6 to 8 weeks to kind of work their way up to really get up to speed. And they're probably in the gym a lot longer than that. And if your team is out in April, then you usually take in June, July, August to really train hard and really attack the next season, which, you know, obviously a lot of the Oilers do because they don't make the playoffs very often. But when you go in as deep as you do on a run that James Neal did, you know, with the Nashville Predators and then the Vegas Golden Knights, that takes away from your off-season training. And then he signed the big contract with the Calgary Flames. He came in and he just didn't fit in there. He has to play a top 6 role. And I think that's the thing with James Neal. James Neal is a top 6 player. He's a goal scorer. He's a guy that had 40 goals once. He's a guy that's every year consistently scored 20 goals. So he went from 25 with the Vegas Golden Knights to 7. So that's a pretty big drop off. So you got to start asking Well, I don't think his game dropped off that much. I think it's probably the situation and the way he was used, and he was utilized in a third line role towards the end of the season, and it just didn't work out for him. So I think for him, there's two things that are really going to benefit the Edmonton Oilers. One, he had a full offseason of training. Flames were knocked out in the first round. So he had a full offseason of recovery and training. Two, he's going to be a motivated guy. He's, you know, usually when a player has a drop-off season like that, he's motivated in the next season to say, hey, I'm worth the money that this team gave me. And three, as we kind of alluded to before off the podcast, is James Neal and Connor McDavid had a pretty good rapport at that All-Star game a couple years ago. And a lot of people got excited when they played together in the three-on-three, and they said, wow, can you imagine these two on the same team? Can you imagine these two on the same line? Now the Edmonton Oilers are getting a chance to see that. And I think getting an opportunity to play with Connor McDavid is a huge opportunity for James Neal. And no disrespect to Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau and the guys over in Calgary, but this is a different level for James Neal to play a player like this. Like, he got to play with Sidney Crosby. Now he's going to get to play with Connor McDavid. So I think the Oilers fans should be excited about James Neal. And he's going to come in here. He's going to be a motivated guy. He's going to be a fit guy. And he's probably, from all accounts, he's working out really hard this summer to kind of prove that last year was just a one-off and he can be a 20-goal scorer again.
Yeah, because last season, I understand, he played most of his 5-on-5 time was played alongside Mark Jankowski as a center. He didn't get much of any opportunity up on the top line with Gaudreau and Monahan, and probably because of chemistry considerations. But, I mean, they did have Lindholm. Mm-hmm. They traded for him, from the Carolina Hurricanes, Hampus Lindholm. He got a shot in the top line, and obviously that really clicked. So whether or not James Neal really got a chance or not, and who knows, maybe if Lindholm wasn't around, who knows, maybe Neal would have factored more on the top line. But we'll never know because it didn't happen that way. You know, so he played mostly with Mark Jankowski. If he dropped down to the fourth line, he'd have as a center Derek Ryan. But clearly you're playing fewer minutes and you're not getting, you know, all that prime time with the top guys. But in, you know, like you said, I mean, he did have a 40-goal season with the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's six seasons ago. But he did play alongside Evgeny Malkin. And that season, Malkin had, I think it was his best season in the NHL ever. I think he had a 50-goal year and 100-plus points. You know, so it goes to show you that, you know, Neal benefited and flourished alongside and even helped feed a guy like Malkin as well. I know Neal's, you know, more of a finisher, more of a goal scorer than he is known to be a passer. However, you know, chemistry is chemistry. And then, of course, with Nashville, like, same thing. When the Predators acquired Ryan Johansson, but this is before that Cup year, they went to the Cup final. You know, he played top line minutes alongside Ryan Johansson. He also played top line almost the entire time he was in Nashville as well. So this guy, you're right, he is a top six player. If he's not going to play in the top six, you shouldn't have him.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid is the best player in the NHL. He is the top centerman in the NHL by far, in my opinion, and I think most people's opinions. So of course, James Neal would be more than willing to come to Edmonton to see if he can do it with Connor McDavid and with Leon Draisaitl, who's one of the best passers in the NHL.
Yeah, and Neal's a finisher. He's a sniper. So it's going to be a very, very interesting dynamic. And it's going to be interesting how he kind of fits in the room. And I've always contended that when you bring in a big name free agent, like Neal was at the time when he came from the Vegas Golden Knights, it always takes a free agent, in my opinion, 2 years to kind of fit into the dressing room. Like, his first year is always, you're always kind of trying to find your way, but it's not till the second year that I think you get the value out of a free agent. Now, he's going to be the first year in Edmonton, so he's going to see how he kind of reacts with those guys. But we saw that there was some camaraderie and there was some chemistry with him and Connor McDavid. And basically, if you can fit in with Connor McDavid, you can fit in with anyone in that Oilers dressing room, because that seems to be the way it's structured. Now, I also want to say that Milan Lucic going to Calgary is not a bad thing for the Flames either. They're not going to get the same return as in a sense that Lucic is not going to score anywhere near 20 goals. I think his days being a goal scorer are over. I think he's just, the game is a little too fast for him. He hasn't been able to keep up, and I think that's his biggest struggle. But you have a presence like Milan Lucic on your team in Calgary, where you have all those guys like Gaudreau and Tkachuk and Monahan. And can you imagine the pest Tkachuk's going to be now, then knowing that Milan Lucic is in his corner? Where before he was skating away from him, now he's got him in his corner. Can you imagine the room Goudreau is going to get now? I don't think a lot of people will be slashing and whacking Goudreau the way they have been the last couple of years with Milan Lucic there. You saw the job Milan Lucic there did here to kind of protect the star players. And I think that's a big thing. I think it's a big coup for Calgary. They're not going to get, they're paying a lot for a third line grinder, basically, is what Milan Lucic has come. But sometimes that having that deterrent is a lot to the top six guys. And so I think you're going to see Goudreau have a very good season. You're going to see Tkachuk even be more of a pest and have a very good season. You're probably going to see Monahan have a very good season because that fear is not there anymore of them getting run or them getting cheap shotted or them getting basically treated the way they had been treated for the last couple of years and no one did anything about it. So I think for Calgary's sake, I can see why they would trade for Milan Lucic. I can see why this would be a good deal for them. And I see it paying off for them. Even if Lucic scores 3-4 goals this year, I think in a sense that he's going to be a very good deterrent in Calgary this season.
Because both these players were commanding, you know, what $5.75 million contract for Neil, $6 million for Lucic. I mean, Lucic's contract's more of a handcuff mm-hmm. than Neil's is. I mean, it was almost virtually bioproof, Lucic's contract. Yeah. Whereas Neil, not so much.
No.
Which obviously is a plus, just in case things go south altogether. Yeah. I just get the sense that, you know, James Neal deserves another shot. He just didn't get his fair due in Calgary.
I agree. And you know, there, you got to wonder, James Neal's on his fourth team in his fourth year. Mm-hmm. A 20-goal scorer getting moved around as much as he does in the last 4 years. There may be some questions as why. Why didn't he fit in with the Calgary Flames room? You know, why maybe didn't he fit in Nashville as well as they would like him to? You got to wonder why, if it's a personality thing or whatever. But I do think if he does well in Edmonton, like it'll be a very good thing for the Oilers because they need that secondary scoring. They need that scoring from someone other than Draisaitl and McDavid to get into the playoffs. And I think this basically adds 20 goals to your lineup because you didn't subtract very much to get him.
And we're not even talking about what if, you know, you talk about that. And if we're talking about, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid, obviously they played together a lot on the top line this year. But if you're relying on one line, which would include Neil, mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe chemistry with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins would be a bad thing either.
Yeah.
You know, you do have Alex Chiasson still on the team too. The Oilers re-signed him. You know, and Chiasson did have a career year last year, 22 goals, benefiting from playing, you know, either 5-on-5 or power play minutes with McDavid in particular. But there's the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins factor too. That would be great if the Oilers could have a 1-2 punch from their top two scoring lines, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
If you can get goals from your top two lines and then chip in whatever the third and fourth line. I think question marks for the Oilers are still the third and fourth line. I think
absolutely
because they just what
who's
will
the third
provide?
Line center?
Yeah, who's the third line center? What will they provide? And I think another wild card in that is Marcus Granlund. This is a guy that scored 19 goals 2 years ago. Can he get back to that 15 to 20 area, which will really help the Oilers in that bottom six? So you're looking at those numbers, and you're hoping players have bounce back years, and you're hoping Chiasson has another good year like he did. You're hoping that wasn't a one off. The 22 goals. He had 22 goals, but Chiasson missed a lot of opportunities. He had a lot of goalposts. He missed some open nets. So he could add 30 in all realistic. So he's getting those opportunities. So if he can make the most of them again, you have the 20 goals there. Hopefully Jujhar Khara has a bounce back year. He had a really tough year last year. By all accounts, he's been working hard this summer. And if you can get 10 goals, 10 to 15 out of him, they start adding up. And I think that was the problem with the Oilers last year is that they were really top heavy as the fact that all their scoring came from their top line and they got nothing else from the rest of the lineup. So I think if you can start getting guys to chip in on the back end, I think there could be something there for the Edmonton Oilers.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I had one more thing about James Neal. I mean, last year in Calgary, played 63 games, 7 goals. He's only scoring at a 5% rate. 5% of his shots went in. Yeah, but his career percentage is 11.5%. You know, so even if he had even been able to get up to his career shooting percentage, he would have had a 20-goal year last year. But I think in order to do that, he needs to play with players worthy of playing with to help him get there.
He does, and he needs to get some power play time, and he didn't get much last year because one of the reasons the Flames were winning, so they're not going to change. If they're winning without you, they're not going to change anything. So, you know, you feel bad for James Neal, but they're winning. So we're winning with the guys we have. You contribute where you can, and you know, if they need you to move up, then you try and move up. But I think that was another factor as well, is that the Flames were doing really well, basically without him in the top six. So they weren't going to change anything. So you're right. He's going to get some power play time here. And I think he's going to get every opportunity to succeed. I think Dave Tippett likes him a lot. Dave Tippett had him when he was very young in Dallas as a rookie. And I think Dave Tippett, he's looking forward to seeing what James Neal brings to the table this year.
Like what you heard today? Get more of the Edmonton Journal's and the Edmonton Sun's award-winning journalism complimentary for 30 days at edmontonjournal.com/podcast or edmontonsun.com/podcast. Or both. Why not? You know, going back to James Neal working out this summer, he's been working out in Toronto with Gary Roberts, who is, you know, former NHL, well-known power forward, played a lot with the Maple Leafs. James Neal's from Toronto, so he's been working out with Gary Roberts, who's become a bit of a hockey fitness guru for players in the offseason in particular, particularly guys who spend their off-seasons in Toronto or their summers. But one of those players is Connor McDavid. He works out with Gary Roberts every summer as well. So I don't know if there's any benefit. I would think so, at least becoming, they probably know each other if they've been working out with Gary Roberts for the last few seasons or the last few summers. But you have to think that both McDavid and James Neal are thinking, hey, we're going to be playing together in the summer. I wonder if that has any benefit.
I think it does, because getting to know a guy away from the rink is very important. And I think that's the one thing when you do drop a free agent into a dressing room, is how much time does he spend away from the rink with these other guys? Like, I, you know, Goudreau and Monahan are best friends, and Tkachuk is in there as well. And so when you get to spend guys away from the arena and you know, working out with them, and I'm sure they're hanging out together in Toronto, you really get to know who he is. And you really get to see if your personalities mesh and come together. So I think that is a huge benefit, the fact that they're both working out with Gary Roberts. And Gary Roberts, he runs a great camp that NHLers flock to, because they know that he's no nonsense. He's all business, and he's going to get the best out of you in the off season, so you can hopefully translate that into a very, very good season. And I think it says a lot that when you go to the Stanley Cup final, you come out of there, win or lose, really beat up. And I think it takes a few weeks to kind of just heal before you can think about getting into the gym, think about lifting, think about, because it's a grind. It really is. It's survival of the fittest, almost, that the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's and so if you recover, rest and recover, and then you're behind. And I think that's maybe the situation was with James Neal. He just was trying to recover, and he didn't get the runway that you need as a professional NHL player to kind of attack the season. And I think things have changed now. Back in whatever it was, 20, 30 years ago, you came to training camp to get in shape. That's what it was for. Now, if you're not in shape by the time you get to training camp, that's a big red flag. And it's kind of amazing how the whole thing has developed, and training camp has become a little shorter now because players are already in shape and they're expected to be in shape when they get there. And if they're not, they get called out on it.
You know, obviously we haven't seen Neal wearing an Oilers jersey or anything yet. So it's hard to really predict what's going to happen, but I think we've been pretty positive and, dare I say, excited about the possibility of Neal being able to contribute. I mean, obviously it's tempered by his poor showing last year, but, you know, like you say, he did have the two straight Stanley Cup years and getting worn down. Not, you know, from what I've read, not prepared last year when he stepped in with the Flames. One thing, though, and I think about that excitement, think back to 2016 when the Oilers traded Taylor Hall to New Jersey, mm-hmm. and then subsequently brought in Lucic as a free agent, you know, filling some of the salary they would have paid to Hall with Lucic's. In fact, it was pretty much the same salary. You know, in a lot of ways, Milan Lucic was expected to fill some of the offense that Taylor Hall was leaving,
yeah.
that the Oilers were not getting that with Hall going to New Jersey. But I think in hindsight, and you know, even back then, really expecting Milan Lucic to be Taylor Hall? No, I don't think so. But what if it had been? I mean, not that he was available, of course. What if that player had been a James Neal instead of a Milan Lucic? I mean, James Neal is not Taylor Hall. Yeah. Taylor Hall is, you know, he won the Hart Trophy. He's one of the most dynamic players in the NHL. A lot of people still think he should be here in Edmonton wearing number four. Mm-hmm. But I think if James Neal was offered up as, hey, you know what, we had to trade Taylor Hall because we needed a defenseman, for however you, never mind, I don't want to get into that argument. We could have that argument till we're dead. But I think James Neal might have, who knows, like you put him on the top line right away with Connor McDavid 3 years ago. Wow, who knows? You never know.
No, you're right. And I think you're absolutely right. When that was the rationale behind bringing Lucic in, I think the rationale is we're going to ship off Taylor Hall. We're going to get a first pairing defenseman and we bring in Lucic and we get a guy that can get you 20 goals. So I think that was kind of the trade-off. My knock on that was I thought the Lucic contract was way too long. 7 years is way too long. This is a guy that was already kind of on his way down. I didn't think the drop-off would be as bad as it was in his second year.
Like sure.
His first year was pretty good. No one could see that. And drop-off was bad in the second year and it was just as bad last year. But if it had been a four-year deal, then you're looking at, okay, well, you know, we got a good year out of him. We couldn't get, and then we moved him. But now there's still 3 years left on this deal or 4 years left on this deal. So that to me was the problem I had with that contract. It was way too long. But you're right. If it had been Neal, that would have been very interesting. If he had come in here and had been able to chip in 20 goals and 25 goals that he got in Vegas and in those goals, and you would have wondered, you know, where would the Oilers have been if it was Neal instead of Lucic? That's a very interesting, you know, very interesting, I guess, proposal, I guess it would be the word I'm looking for.
He wasn't a free agent at the time. I mean, we could jump in the fantasy time machine and play this game with all kinds of players.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm sure that if James Neal had been a free agent at the same time, he might have commanded more money, you know, I think, considering where he was in his NHL career at that time. You know, that was before he was still with Nashville. Two seasons later, they went to the Cup final. But still, he was a top-line, bona fide 30-goal scoring type first line winger.
Yeah.
He probably would have gotten at least another $1 million.
Yeah. He probably
who knows? But maybe the carrot of playing with McDavid would have been enough. But again, total fantasy, all that. You know, I'll have one more thing about James Neal to add, and it does relate to you because back in 2007, you covered the Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
And that it was the Medicine Hat Tigers and the Vancouver Giants were the two teams from the Western Hockey League that were in that. It was hosted by Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Medicine Hat had won the title, beating Vancouver for the Western League title. But the other two teams were from the Quebec League was the Lewiston Maniacs. And the OHL team, whose star was James Neal, was the Plymouth Whalers. So you got to see Milan Lucic and James Neal.
Yeah, I did. I saw
as juniors.
As juniors, I covered that tournament. And you knew they were both going to be bona fide NHL star players. I think Plymouth didn't do very well in that tournament. I think they were out early. I think they lost their first game, something like 6-3, and then it was pretty much they threw in
the towel. There's always one team that has to flame out and lose every game.
Yeah,
so it was probably Plymouth.
Threw in the towel. They got blown out their second game. And so that was I was very interested because it was a Medicine Hat Vancouver final, and the Giants won that final. So it's quite interesting. But you could tell that both players were going to be impact players. And I think Lucic made a bigger impact when he came in as a rookie just because he was physically bigger and stronger and ready for the NHL. And he was just a beast back then. And he made a bigger impact early on in his career. And I think Neal kind of made a more consistent impact. And I think he's now, they're both at the same stage in their careers. They're both 31 years old. But I think Neal still has a lot more in the tank than maybe Milan Lucic does.
That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. You can subscribe to Oil Spills via Apple's podcast app or iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you may access your podcasts.